a legendary Springbok captain and a famous Irish international walk into a bar, and neither man recognizes the other. Shocking, right? In today's episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the incredible revelation as we uncover why even the world's best players can be strangers to each other, and why fans from one country often know so little about stars from another. Let's dive into this fascinating rugby phenomenon. And the two men in question, while initially strangers to each other, are no strangers to you and I. Check this out.
Where did you first in your life hear about me?
Garrett Fitzgerald, who when he's also unfortunately has passed away, but yeah. He contacted me and said, listen, do you want to meet this guy, Rassie Erasmus? So the first time I'd heard your name was probably in the media that you were coming into Munster. Mm. And then Garrett said, would you like to meet him? CJ told me then who you'd coached and the Cheetahs and the Stormers and all that stuff. And so then I went home and I would have gone down and saw the stuff about the lights and all that kind of, that kind of stuff. And I watched a couple of games that I could find of teams that you'd coached. And then I think I met you in the Castletroy Park Hotel in one of the suites in there.
So when I got there, I really didn't know who Felix was. And obviously you guys didn't watch a lot of Super Rugby we didn't know who each other were.
That's from Dr. Rassie Erasmus's new podcast. I must admit, I could not believe when Felix Jones said he did not know who Rassie was. Similarly, Rassie didn't know who he was. I mean, Rassie was a very, very good player back in the day. It's not like he only played one test and then went away. Plus, he skipped the Springboks at 1.2. Now, I accept that Felix Jones did not enjoy as prominent a career, but he did still represent his country 13 times in the early 2010s. That's not that long ago. Now, obviously, Doc is a little bit older than Felix, so they would never have played against each other, but Rassie would have already been part of the Springbok coaching setup at that stage as a technical advisor. And then he moved upstairs, so I really would have thought that Jones would have at least been on his radar in some way. Especially because, with all due respect, Jones played for Ireland, one of rugby's more prominent nations. And I say this again respectfully, if Jones had come from the USA or Canada, for example, you'd kind of be more understanding. Now, I'm not going to be overly critical of this. I'm just saying that I do find it quite incredible that these two men didn't actually know who the other was. To me, it speaks to the tribalism that we have within rugby. Think of it from a fan's point of view. I bet you can name every Springbok player right now. If I asked you to name a Springbok 15 and a bomb squad, you'd have no problem doing exactly that. But what if I asked you to name an All Blacks 23? Would you be able to do it? Okay, that might not be so difficult. And I think most rugby fans from South Africa could probably do the same for England, France, and Ireland. But what about Australia, Argentina, Wales, Scotland, Italy, Japan, Uruguay? Now, I'm not having a go at anyone's rugby knowledge. I always point out that most fans are busy. They work from Monday to Friday, and to relax, they try to take in a few games on a Saturday. How can someone like that be expected to know every player? By the same token, I use that same reasoning for why I think the average rugby fan struggles to keep up with the laws that keep changing. World Rugby makes it very difficult for us. Now, I'll just use the Ireland example, since Felix Jones is part of the theme of this episode. Let's say you and I are at a braai and we're talking about Ireland. The conversation might go something like this. What's the name of that winger of theirs again? Lowe. James Lowe. Yes, that's the one. James Lowe. You see, we both know who he is, but maybe in that moment, we couldn't remember his name. I've done it on this channel before, guys. I've incorrectly called Roman Ntamack Emil. I've also called Ethan Blackadder Todd. And if you're the same age as me, I'm sure you are laughing on the inside, maybe even on the outside right now, because you know as well as I do that those players' fathers were among the high-profile players that we were watching when we were growing up. But that's not the same as me talking about Chile's hooker, Diego Escobar. Now, admittedly, I've remembered him from the 2023 Rugby World Cup because I was really impressed by him. And it turns out he has quite a memorable name too, which obviously helps. But I don't expect you to remember his name or even know that he exists. And that's one of the reasons I'm here. I'm hoping to be able to tell you stuff that maybe you didn't know, and it's my pleasure to do that for you. But back to the matter at hand. You think of the tribal nature of rugby. It's almost like we are so secure in our own bubbles that we don't always notice other teams. It can go so far as being a Stormers fan and not knowing much about the Bulls, Sharks, or Lions. Or maybe you do know about the South African franchise players, but you don't know the other URC teams. Or maybe you know the Irish teams, but you don't really know the Italian teams. Or whatever the case may be. And again, I know that people are busy. It's impossible, I think, even for a specialist rugby journalist to keep up. How can you spend virtually every living hour watching Super Rugby, League One, Currie Cup, URC, Top 14, Premiership, Champions Cup, and Major League Rugby? And don't forget, there's a few competitions that I haven't mentioned there even. It's not humanly possible. But as I say, I still expect the top players and coaches to know who each other are. I mean, I cannot for one second accept that last year Scott Robertson was surprised by Sasha Feinberg and Gome Zulu. Now, the great thing is that the top teams have got an army for a coaching staff. And among those staff members, you'll have data and performance analysts. Part of their jobs is to provide analysis on opposition players. And even the players themselves these days will do their own studies on their direct opponent. So maybe it could be that one of the Barrett brothers might have come, or even whoever it may be, might have come to Scott or one of the other coaches and said, hey, you know what, that young boy that they've got, I've noticed he does this, or he does that, or he doesn't do this. You know, that sort of thing. So in that sense, the modern player, coach, and teams will know almost everything about everyone. But as you can tell, it clearly has got me fascinated that neither Rusty nor Felix actually knew who the other one was. And I think that might also help us get a better understanding of the way French rugby fans think. For example, to them, their clubs are almost everything. If you're from Toulouse, Bordeaux, or wherever, then the club not only represents your town, city, or even village, but it actually defends your honor against the other teams. That's some serious business. And that's why you'll often see in the comments, when Springbok fans talk about France, Antoine Dupont, and how we beat them in whatever match, in whatever year, the French fans will hit back with how Toulouse beat the Sharks. I'm not even sure Sharks fans would take that comment overly seriously. But to fans of the French clubs, that is not only relevant, it's vital. Well, with all of that being said, I'd love to know which rugby competitions you follow. And do you follow them very closely or just casually? Maybe catch a Super Rugby match on a Saturday morning. Maybe catch a Japanese League One game on a Saturday morning. Friday night, if there's a URC game on, might catch that. Maybe it's late on a Saturday night and there might be a Major League Rugby game on and you might watch that as well. Let me know in the comment section down below. And guys, just before I say goodbye, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. It starts from as little as $5 per month. Now, the reason that I'm looking for those donations is because I would love to do this full time. And I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily content. Among the perks that you can get if you sign up as a patron, you will get your name featured in my YouTube videos. You could get a quarter quarterly Zoom call with me where we discuss Springbok rugby. You could even get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player and even stand the chance to win really cool prizes like the brand new James Small biography that's out. And you can also win yourself Springbok match tickets and other cool merch. So I'd like to encourage you to check out the description area below. That's where you'll find the link. Click on that, sign up as a patron, and I look forward to your company next time.